Four or five times a year, our high school has a retreat for the seniors. They go in groups of 30 or 40 students. And we had one this past week. And so the four of us that live in the rectory, the four priests, went up at 11 o'clock at night to hear confessions. And it's always wonderful. It's just such a beautiful thing to get a glimpse in somebody's soul. It's kind of spiritually like going to the Louvre. You just get little insights and beauty whenever that happens. Standing, talking with some of the students afterwards, one of the kids kind of said casually, but very earnestly, he said, you know, I'm really glad I'm on this retreat because I've got some things I really have to figure out here up on this retreat. And I thought, boy, I hope you do. But I've been to enough retreats, and there's been so many times in life where I've thought, boy, after this retreat, I'm going to have the answers. I'm going to head in the right direction. I just know it. Or benchmarks in life, you know, as soon as I graduate, then everything's going to be fine. And as soon as I graduate again, and I graduate again, and I graduate again, everything will be fine. It'll all be worked out. And there's such an impulse to think that the truth of our lives and our life of faith, it is going to be something that we arrive at. And finally we get it, and we hold it like a diploma or a certificate. We go to it like a place or a church, when really each one of those things and each one of these events are just pieces and parts of an ongoing journey, and the journey is the most important thing. I don't know if you've seen a beautiful movie called The Way. It was written by Emilio Estevez and directed by Emilio, who's the son of Martin Sheen. Martin Sheen stars in it. And in this film, this man learns of the death of his son, and his son has been on the great pilgrimage of Saint-Jacques de Compostela. It's a 500-mile pilgrimage that's been going on for thousands of years, where people go and make the pilgrimage for spiritual reasons or for whatever reasons. In seeing the footage of the pilgrimage, I've been noticing people walking back and forth to the Crown lot because of our parking situation here. So maybe we could try to get an indulgence or something for all the walking that we're going to have to be doing in the next week's least frequent flyer miles, something we should be getting for all that. Well, they go on this pilgrimage, and along the way, it's clear that the Martin Sheen character is there because he's hoping to get closure regarding the sudden death of his son. And he meets other pilgrims along the way, and each one of them has their own reasons for going. One person is there to quit smoking, another person there is to lose weight, and they each have their way, the reason that they're there. But without giving too much about the film away, it's pretty clear, ultimately, it's not going to happen. And the demons they brought are the demons they're going to go home with to some extent. But the most important thing is the next step of the journey and what happens on the journey itself. All the readings today point to that in one way or another. Samuel was training with Eli. Eli had trained under Elijah. This was the most respected of the prophets, the most learned of the prophets. And Samuel was there with him, and somehow he had been selected to be his apprentice, to be his mentoree. And he was giving it all to Samuel, and he was dedicating everything to Samuel. Studying with Eli and being with Eli was his goal. And he was so focused on that that when he started to hear the little voice in the back of his head, or the little idea that won't go away, that said, there's more. Samuel's impulse was to say, here I am. And Eli was humble enough and smart enough to know that ultimately it wasn't him, that Samuel was being called to something greater. Samuel was being pointed in a direction toward God, not being pointed in a direction to just remain there with Eli. In the Corinthians, we have another kind of version of that. The community at Corinth was a community that had converted to Christianity. They were saying the right words. They were, you know, professing the right creeds when they gathered for worship. But they thought that they had arrived, and they thought that saying the right words and going through the right rituals, that enough was enough to justify them. That enough was enough to make their life good. It was as though, well, we've been there, done that, did the workshop, got the certificate, we're doing what we're supposed to, we've arrived. And Paul is trying to say to them, well, if you aren't treating people right, if on an ongoing basis you're not welcoming everybody, you're treating the rich different from the poor, you're using and abusing each other, then you still have a ways to go. They thought they had arrived when really they had given up on the journey and they had a ways to go. And in the story of the gospel today, of the joining of the earliest apostles and the earliest disciples, they saw Jesus and their question is, where do you stay? And the reason for that is, of course, that in Jesus' time, if there was a wise teacher, someone who was learned and respected and was attracting followers, the thing that they would do would be to set up a school, usually in their hometown. And they would go back and they would welcome people who would come and study with them and discuss with them. And so the major rabbis of the day would have little schools that they would set up, sometimes quite large schools. So Rabbi Gamaliel might have a school and Rabbi Hillel might have a school. And almost like they would have this, you know, the college sweatshirt that had RG for Rabbi Gamaliel school and RH Rabbi Hillel school. Well, they wanted to say, where's your school? We want to wear the sweatshirt. Where's the, you know, Rabbi Jesus school? And Jesus never set up a school in that way. Jesus' school was on the road. Jesus' school was the journey. And so he invited them to come and see. And for everyone that wanted to follow Jesus, Jesus never said, well, go here or go there or this is where we meet. Jesus always said, follow me. It's always about the next step. It's always about the next step on the journey. And that's life. Our life is a matter of finding the next step and hoping and praying and working hard so that we can, over the course of a lifetime, discern in our lives which steps are going to take us closer to God and which steps keep us basically essentially in the same place and which steps take us farther away from God. It was a great insight of Ignatius of Loyola, who was the great master of the spiritual life, who taught his disciples that for a period of time they should look at every decision they make in the course of a day and then say, is this a decision that brought me closer to God? Is this a decision that took me farther away from God or kept me the same? And always try to choose for God. And he said to do this even for little decisions because his idea was that if we learned how to do it for smaller decisions, we would be prepared to do it for the larger decisions. We would be prepared when we really would come to a fork in the road or we would really come to a place where it wasn't clear at all what the next step was supposed to be. The journey, that's what we're called to. Let us pray that we may hear the voice that says, follow me. That we may hear the voice that says, come and see. That we not get too stuck in the past, though we want to appreciate the past lessons. That we not be too preoccupied with the horizon, though it's important to see the horizon, that we have a sense of where we're going. But we see the beauty and the grace and the wonder that is in the next step and the people that accompany us along the way. Jesus says, follow me, come and see.